Good morning, everyone, and I often solicit testimonies. I love your testimonies because they really testify what's going on in your life and your daily lives, where you are. So this is what my prayer is that you are living the life 24/7 where you are. And just recently, I'm going to ask Shirley to give a testimony where she was Saturday morning, and that was on a walk in Forest Hills. She loves to walk. She enjoys it. It's a prayer time for her when she's out there by herself or us together. We get a lot discussed together when we're walking together, but she was by herself. And so she stopped at a yard sale. And lo and behold, some great things happened on the way back home. So Shirley's going to share with us now about what she experienced Saturday morning.
Well, I've been having a little dizziness, so my last words to him were, "I'll call you if I run into any trouble." Well, I had been along the way, I came across this yard sale, and I just, you know, I couldn't help just to stop and do a quick walkabout. So I was there. I had to be there an hour, and I kept thinking, I need to call Mark. I need to let him know where I am, but I just was sharing with this man, and so he finally called me. He says, "Where are you?" I said I would call him. But anyway, so I looked around and I thought, oh, you know, just looking at stuff, and I don't want to like just get stuff. But I said hi. I always talk to the people, their neighbors usually, and I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, make this count for something. This isn't just a yard sale. Do something here." And I didn't know what He was going to do. But I began to talk to, there was a husband and wife, I believe the wife's mother had passed away, and they were selling things out of her house. And so as I began to share with him, I discovered some things, and the flow was just so beautiful, what God was doing. I saw this man tearing up before me. I'm just sharing the hope of glory, Jesus in us. And his eyes were tearing up. But what I saw was that in my experience, I come across people that are, let's say, our generation, looking at everybody in here, who come from a generation where we went to church, we were sent to church or brought to church, but we had connection somehow with the church when we were children. And most of us, during that time, at some point, gave our hearts to the Lord as children. And these people that I see, and God has sent several people my way this way, and then I look at them and they're telling me, yes, you know, I ask them, "Are you a man of faith? Are you a woman who knows God?" And they'll say yes, and I'll ask them about it. I said, "Have you given your heart?" "Yes, when I was a child." And I say, "Let me guess, then life got in the way. You got busy with life and you haven't really given attention to God and your eternity." And they say yes. And it's like there are so many people like that. Mm. They're everywhere. You can just almost pick them out where they are because they've had this exposure. And this guy, his uncle was a Baptist preacher, and he said his dad may as well have been one, because between the two of them they shoved Bible down his throat to where he was just gagging on it, and then he rebelled against it all. He's just recently retired, like in May, and I addressed that, you know, retirement. I said, it's a figment of somebody's imagination. You have to have purpose for life. And he's going, yes, yes. He went through a period of depression because he's like, and this is not unusual. He retired. He doesn't know who he is, what his purpose is, and many people experience that. So he got through the depression. But he's been busy, you see. He's found something to keep him busy, but he hasn't really found his purpose. He doesn't quite know that yet. But as I spoke to him, he was one who did give his heart to the Lord. He remembers the day. He was in fifth grade. He knows when he did. And I just began to share, you know, about God, what God has for us. And God said to me, this man is receiving a message of hope, and I heard it. I heard every word coming out of my mouth, and I was praising God for it because I could see this man was just soaking. He was like a dried up prune, and he was just soaking it in. And then he hugged me and he said, "I've never heard anyone talk about religion like this." And he was so moved, and I said, and that's the point. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. I tell you, I was so moved by being the instrument to bring this hope to this man. Mm-hmm. And he was, and in the end, and I knew it, but I said to him, I guess I'm pretty bold sometimes, but I said, what is the one main problem in your life that if you could just get rid of that, then you could come to Jesus? Because this is how people think. I got to get cleaned up before I come to Jesus. And I had already talked to him about, you're not worthy, you know, and you don't have to. You can't clean yourself up. You've got to come to Jesus and let him do it for you. We'd already said that, but I saw he wasn't able to get over that hump. And I said, what is the biggest problem that you have in your life that if it was just gone, then you would be able to come to God and worship him? And he hesitated, and I said to him, of course, if you wish to tell a stranger, for I realize you don't know me, but we all come with that big problem. Everybody has some problem. If I could just get over this thing. And he hesitated, and then he said to me, he said, I have a problem with alcohol. And I said, I knew that. And I'm glad that you could speak it out, but not necessarily to me, but you're able to voice it out. And he told me, lady, says that was so hard for me to say that. Wow. So evidently he's not been able to voice it. Now he has a lovely wife. I don't know how she loves him, because it's hard to love an alcoholic. They bring such misery into your life. But she has, you know, she says she knows the Lord also. So here was like God bringing hope to this man several times. His eyes were just tearing, and tears just flooding down his face. Mm-hmm. He just has never heard anything like this. And I'm saying, God, why aren't people hearing this hope? They're going to church and they're hearing religion. And I told him, I said, and I kept emphasizing, it's not about going to church, but God said we are to get together. And if you're here and your wife is here and I'm here, then we're gathered together, aren't we, in the presence of God? This is what he's talking about. And it's not, you know, we talked about why you go to church, and, you know, different people go for different reasons. Some go so that they won't feel guilty anymore. Some go because they want to show off their new outfits. And some go because they believe, well, I have to. I don't have any other choice because my dad's the pastor. And, you know, whatever. People have their reasons. But there's one reason. It's to gather together to worship our God. And it kept coming back to your relationship with God. I don't want, let's not talk about the church and the past. So you rebelled, so you had Bible stuffed down your throat, so you have a lot of ideas that aren't even right about who God is. But how are you going to get to know him if you don't spend time with him? And you can't spend time with him unless you walk right up to his face and say, here I am, Lord, I want to confess to you, I want to talk to you. I mean, this is the kind of stuff he was hearing, and this man was soaking it up. And I went away praising God. Well, I have to tell you, though, part of the testimony is this. I spoke a great deal to him about how he's paying attention to the lies that Satan's giving him. Like, you can't come to God, you know, you're worthless. Who are you? What makes you think you can be saved? What makes you think you can talk to God? And I spoke to him, I said, I don't know, but I said, I'm believing that Satan has, you've been hearing these things in your head. And he said, yes, yes, yes. You know, Satan, he never rests. He is out there roaring, lying, seeking who he can destroy, including all of us, especially us. You know, if he could trip us up and get us away from the Lord, then he would love that. And so I spoke to him about how Satan lies to us, and how we have to, like, you know, that has nothing to do with us. We have to recognize that. So as I walked away, not even, I'll tell you, I didn't even know where I was. I thought, how far? I hope I'm not too far from home. I'm exhausted. And I was about halfway through the walk. And so as I was going, in my head I hear, you didn't pray with him. And you know what? I've got to tell you, I recognized that immediately as Satan, because I had already prayed. I had asked the Lord to direct every word. And I knew, that's like the Lord showed me, if I had said, let's just pray right now, that would have turned that man off, because that's what the very thing he didn't like about his father. And it's a thing, you know. He says, he told his wife, don't tell dad about my dad about such and such, because he's a prayer warrior, he'll start praying. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing, oh, you didn't pray with him. oh, you should have said this. You guys ever have this happen? Oh, you should have said this, and you should have said, why didn't you tell him this? And it was like it was kind of coming in, pow, 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 and I said, wait a minute. I have been set free, and this is not from the Lord. The Lord does not condemn us. He doesn't accuse us. I mean, as I'm walking away, God's not going to say, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. What's wrong with you? You know, what kind of a vessel are you? And so that part of the testimony for me was that recognizing none of us are free from that. And so I was free for the rest of my walk. And I just, you know, I asked the Lord to protect the investment there, protect the seeds from the birds that would snatch it away, and from, you know, parched land, and to water him, and to make this, to do something with this, you know, not just, oh, that was nice, and then you forget.
Mm-hmm.
To bring, you know how we do have to hear things over and over? We recognize that when we're, especially when we're learning something. But even walking with the Lord, we got to hear it over and over, don't we?
Because
if we don't, it's like, that's why we read our scriptures every day. We have to hear it over and over. If we don't, we'll kind of slip away, because we live in this world and it draws us away. And so I was asking the Lord just to refresh this and revive this and keep bringing it to him, however he does it, you know. And I gave the man my number, and I said, you can call me if you want. If you need encouragement, and I said, and you will, we all do, we all need encouragement. But here's my phone number if you need to call for encouragement. But I'm not going to be calling you and bugging you. God didn't put me in charge of that man, but a contact, somebody, if he needs a word of encouragement. That goes for all of us. When we're down and we're running into trouble, I mean, don't we just kind of like, well, I don't want to bother anybody? We all have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. And it's like God is saying, no, this is not what I'm telling you. You know, we need to be united. We need to be serving one another in with hope and with prayer and with, you know, just encouraging words. So when we're down, we need to call somebody and say, I need some help. You know, it's okay to say
mm-hmm.
that. So that's what I was asking the Lord for this guy. But I tell you, I was skipping the rest of the way home, and I couldn't wait to tell Mark. And it was just very exciting, you know, when the Lord does that, and you see it right before you.
My, if someone would ask me, what has been your greatest experiences in life? What's been your greatest thrill? And I've always said, sharing Jesus with someone. Sharing Jesus with someone. And there's just nothing like it, because if you water, you will be watered. You just get in a shower. As you give, you're going to receive from the Lord, and you just cannot run dry. And to me, this is what it's all about. But it's also a story and an illustration of where our world is today. They are perilously close to missing out. Should Jesus come today, there would be a lot of people that would be saying, could have, would have, should have. And the Lord's putting out this invitation today to such a scattered flock. The world is lost. You know, they're lost anyhow, but there's a lot of people that have had experiences when they were younger, and they've become scattered. And the Lord wants to gather. The adversary wants to scatter. The Lord wants to gather. And when we were in the back today in prayer, one thing that I saw was, as we travel on the interstates and our highways and our cars, especially on the interstates, over a period of several miles, your windshields will get all bugged up, especially in love bug season here in Florida and in the southern United States. I mean, you can get almost just blotted out. So I was just hearing this morning about, we need to stop, we need to get our eyes cleared, we need to have our hearts cleared, we need to get our windshields, spiritual windshields, so to speak, cleaned off, so we can continue our journey in the highway of life. Very important, or it's going to be very obscure, very oblique, and very dangerous to continue that way without clear vision. And so as Shirley was on her travels, on her walk, the Forest Hills, she was looking to the Lord. She had some clarity there, and she began to share by God's Spirit, and look at the results. Men don't normally shed tears that way, normally, just to in public on a bright and sunny day. And so, do you hear what Shirley said that he said? I haven't heard anyone speak that way. to me. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, it imparts life, there is liberty. And so praise the Lord for this example of God's people hearing from God, walking with Him, and glorifying Him in their daily life. And this is what it's all about. June, you may sometimes just say a word or two, or you might say, like you said recently, a few weeks ago, amen, or you agree to something that is truly from the Lord, and you may not feel like you can articulate or say a lot, and you may not have the liberty at work where you are to say a whole lot, but to, in your own heart, to be able to say amen to the things of God can go a long way. And so may God bless you as you continue to look to Him, what you're to do, what you're to say where you are. Each and every one of us the same. There's a big old testimony here with Carolyn and Ted, but we're not going to go through all that right now, but I just thank God for how He has arranged for them to move from where they are to where they're going to be. And not necessarily great big walk-in shower, two bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. Like I say, we're going down from two bathrooms, nice generous bathrooms, down to one that they're going to have to share, and different things. But it's a lovely place, and less money per month, much more friendlier on the wallet for the gas that you're going to have to not be spending. And so praise the Lord. It's awesome testimony though as to how this is coming along, and they're not there yet, but there'll be more looking to the Lord before you get there. I know that's the truth. So we're praying for them to be successful in your transition down to here, right down the road, a lot closer to us. But with prayer, looking to the Lord, all things are possible. And that came up suddenly, didn't it? I'm concerned. Any other testimonies here this morning? I know we took a little bit of time for that, but it preaches to my heart to hear an update testimony about someone looking to the Lord and what He's doing. May God do a work in that man's life. Linda's standing in church this morning while we were worshiping and praise, and you can't fabricate that. You can't fabricate an unction from the Lord. You cannot. You can do things that might look like you are and put on a facade and all, but you can't fabricate that from deep in your heart, burden for a soul or desire for a soul to hear from the Spirit of God. And did you know who she was stirred to pray for? That was for Joseph, my daughter's husband, and it truly came from the heart. It doesn't mean that you all necessarily felt the same thing she did, because I wasn't weeping that way. But I do love him, and I am concerned about him, and I joined with her in prayer and intercession to the Lord. Shirley also felt something very powerful. It doesn't mean there's something wrong because you didn't feel what they felt. Don't misunderstand. But we join with them and with that stirring to intercede for a soul. Anytime, that's good to do. Anytime. Some other time you may feel a stirring, and Linda may not feel anything particularly what you're feeling because you're an individual. But join with them in interceding for God to manifest Himself to an individual. So that was very, very powerful. And you experienced something your own self up here while Linda was praying, interceding. Do you have your hand up? Okay, Linda.
I wasn't feeling sad for him. It was a very, very unique experience. I was feeling what he was feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it any other way. Mm-hmm. There was a cold emptiness. It was so hollow. It was so scary. And I knew it was the Lord just touching me in that regard. Mm-hmm. To cry out for him because he was unable. But it was terrible. I can't even describe. Mm-hmm. It was horrifying what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's been living in over and over and over again every day in that mm-hmm. prison. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know how to lift up to the Lord, because that's the only thing that's going to carry him through to mm-hmm. the end of this mm-hmm. thing of situation, the season in his life. Mm-hmm. But it was horrible. Mm-hmm. To cry out to the Lord, because He's the only one that has that power to manifest that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very powerful. And, you know, as the Lord reveals more of Himself to us, then we are to be able to use that revelation to glorify Him more. More of Jesus in us, the more Jesus can come out. And the more He has taken up residence in here, the less room for the world. And so it's a battle. But God is teaching us and training us to trust Him more.